for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. It's been like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. I'm serious.
Praise God. Good morning. Father God, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your kindness and for your mercy. This morning, Father God, we thank you for your understanding as well. And my prayer this morning, Lord Jesus, is help us. Help us. Not to become weary, not to stop praying against this COVID, and not to become lazy or slack in our own personal measures against it. Help us not to be ignorant against it, because it is a work of the devil. Absolutely, positively, clearly understood, it's a work of the devil. Lord God, help us not to be so busy that we don't take precautions. Because truly, COVID is nothing to be taken lightly. It is a work of the devil. And Jesus said, for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. Don't get too busy that you are not continually aware of what this COVID is. Think of it as something you already know, a bad cold, the flu. And think of it, think of how easily it is to catch a cold or the flu. Think of it, these spirits traffic through the airways. You got to breathe. Do what's necessary. Do what's necessary for yourself. You make the decision. Good morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica, and good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. I pray that before we begin, that everybody has repented for the week, for last week, well, from Thursday to Thursday. It's a good thing that we do it that way. I love that because it reminds me to repent. You know, we go day by day, and sometimes we do forget. But coming up to communion on Thursday, I know I got to repent before I take it. Praise God. The more you know, the more you grow. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. All hearts and minds clear. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. On Monday, when you were teaching, and you know you always play that song, A Little Faith, and you always say, "A little faith is all you need." When we got off the line, I just kept hearing, "A little faith, a little faith." So I knew where I was going. A little faith. Matthew 17 and 20. "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief," this is where they couldn't cast the spirits from the lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, they asked Jesus why they couldn't do it. "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So he's comparing a little faith to a little grain of mustard seed. Because a mustard seed, he says, is the smallest of all seeds. A mustard seed, you know, is a herb, a mustard plant.
Mm-hmm.
And a mustard seed faith is a little bit of faith, but it's a starting point for your faith. A mustard seed is the greatest among herbs. It's an herb that can grow to a tree to a height of up to 20 feet. Now, Matthew 13, 31 through 32 says it this way. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, you go from the least to full grown. It is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of the tree."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a mustard seed, emphasis placed on seed, does not remain a seed in seed form. It's got to be sown in the earth and cultivated.
Amen.
So I looked up some definitions for cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
Cultivate, to improve by labor or study, to advance the growth, to refine, to improve by correction of faults, enlargement of powers or good qualities. That's cultivate. And cultivate it, improved in excellence or condition, corrected and enlarged, cherished. those were the definitions that I chose. So this is why the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard seed, because the kingdom of heaven is with man, and it, you know, the kingdom of God is these two phrases are used interchangeably. In some scriptures it say the kingdom of heaven, some it says the kingdom of God. But either way, there's growth. There has to be growth. That seed has to be planted, cultivated to grow into a tree. Your faith has to, a little bit of faith, has to be cultivated to grow in knowledge, understanding, wisdom. That's your spiritual growth. That's what you do with that little bit of faith. Now, in Mark, he says it this way, Mark 4 and 30, 30 through 32. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, we read in Matthew where it says they lodge in the branches. And here in Mark, it says the fowl lodge under the shadow. So, you know, that mustard seed, although it doesn't grow above 20 feet, it spreads out just as wide. So you got, in your faith, you got growth where, you know, you got people under you. And we can look right here at this Jesus Believers line and see how many follow Dr. Erica openly. And then we got all those that lodge, I'll say, under the shadow of her ministry, because she doesn't know who they are, because they just downloading her material. But nonetheless, they're using that mustard seed that has grown, full grown. Now, a little faith, like the song says, does go a long, long way, but not without the cultivation. That little faith, that mustard seed, like I said, is a starting point for your faith. You got to pray, you got to study, you got to read, you got to hear, you got to praise, you got to worship. That's cultivating. And God himself will give the increase. So you got to plant that seed, that little mustard seed. Because if you don't plant it, you don't get anything. It can't grow. So yes, like that song says, a little bit of faith goes a long, long way. It can take you as far as you want to go.
Amen.
As long as you do your due diligence. Amen.
I walk the streets, I hear your voice. I put my arm around a pain-filled world. I see you walk, I feel you struggle. I know you wonder if your hopes run out. But you don't need much. No, it does not.
Did I cut it off? Or did I run out of paper? Let me see what's happening. A little faith. Yep. That's all it takes.
What does this thing say?
No paper.
Okay.
Wow.
Got between us. Supposed to go for a minute here. I wasn't paying it much attention.
30 years ago, I wrote a little booklet. I'm trying to find it. The title of it is Deliver Us. I wrote this booklet when I was learning about deliverance and being a missionary. I had to get the people that I was teaching to understand what deliverance is. I'm going to see if I still have, I got to find it because now, some 30 years later, I realized that was one of the best things I ever wrote. But this is what I want to talk to you about. Can I get about 8 of you to write this? Jesus is calling upon us to set people free. Can you write that, eight of you? Jesus is calling upon us to set people free. So that's what I want to just talk to you about this morning a little bit. I'm going to give you some words. I'm going to, if you want to get a PDF of this with what the words really mean, because I'm not going to go into the full definition. But the words are regression, repression, suppression, depression, oppression, obsession, and possession. I'm going to give you these words again. Regression, repression, suppression, depression, oppression, obsession, and possession. But the Holy Spirit just stopped me and told me to tell you about the vision I had last night. Last night, I had an open vision. And in the open vision, Jesus was reaching his hand down from heaven and handing scroll. It was a scroll. And the scroll was rolled up and it was tied with a leather cord. And I saw Jesus hand the scroll down. It was in his hand. And then God brought me out the vision because that was all I saw. I saw Jesus. I saw his robe. I saw his hand, his nail-scarred hand. And the scroll was rolled up and tied with a leather cord. And I just said, oh, okay. I remember saying, oh, okay. And then I came out the vision. And I got up. And I came in here to the sanctuary. And I began to pray. And I didn't really ask God what did it mean, because I really didn't want to know on my own or in my flesh. So I just decided to wait until God explains it and reveals it. But I saw, and the other thing I'm seeing now too, as I'm going back explaining it to you, I saw part of his heart. Because when he handed down the scroll, he handed it down with his right hand. So it would have been his right hand I was looking at with the scroll, and a little part of his robe, I looked over, because you know when somebody is handing you something and they kind of like leaning towards you. That's what he was doing. And I saw a tiny bit of his heart exposed. Now, the reason that's important to me is I told you when I first got saved for real, delivered, Jesus showed me his heart and the power that emanates from his heart. But this time I didn't feel any power. It was like a normal thing. It was like the next progression. He handed the scroll. And no, it didn't have a seal on it because it was tied. And the way it was tied like all you have to do, you know how you tie something? And all you have to do is pull one end of how you tied it, and it's like your shoestring will come loose if you just pull one end. It was not tightly tied. It was loosely tied, this scroll. And it was kind of like yellowish parchment. Like a skin, like a papyrus. Because now I'm really thinking about it. And I didn't look it up. I'm gonna wait on God to make it plain, because, you know, I can go off in 14 different, 55 different rabbit holes. And all of them can be wrong. But then he gave me this message. So I'm going to wait on him. I actually wrote, the Lord is calling upon us to set people free. All authorities and powers are subject to Jesus Christ. We are in Jesus Christ. And when we are speaking for Jesus Christ, there's no spiritual demonic power above us. I did see that. I saw Jesus covering all the airspace. With that one arm that's coming down with that scroll, you couldn't see nothing above, you couldn't see nothing above it. Couldn't see nothing below him. Couldn't see nothing to the right or the heart except that little, to the right or the left. Except that little part of his heart that was exposed. And I see that again right now. Okay, there's no spiritual demonic power above us. We have the authority and the power in God to cast out unclean spirits. We have the power and the authority. Once again, God reminded me, demons are subject to us. Then he told me to read Luke 10, which I'm going to read in its entirety right now. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he, Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. I get it, God. I get it. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In the past, many Christians, called to be believers, refused to stand up to the problems of evil and demon spirits. In the past, many Christians even refused to have anything to do with this thing called spiritual warfare, excusing away the fact that we have been brought into this spirit warfare by God, Jesus, and God's own Holy Spirit. As you're listening to this morning, Satan and his kingdom is being weakened. Satan and his kingdom has been becoming weakened from the day you first began your pursuit of spiritual freedom, and you began your pursuit to get closer to God. You have been given the knowledge of the truth about Satan, about his demons, and about his kingdom. You have been given the truth. The devil and his demons are like a cancer. They devour the soul, bit by bit, the steps they use to destroy human life, brothers and sisters, falls into a distinct pattern. And that pattern is regression, repression, suppression, depression, oppression, obsession, and with the ultimate goal being possession. Satan works that work in a logical order. He begins with the smallest amount of demonic power to hurt a person. And then he and his demons continue until they can completely overwhelm a person. I'm not telling you this morning, scare you or anything like that. But I'm explaining this to you to reveal the only answer that can heal and destroy. Heal you from and destroy sin, sickness, and sin wounding. Sin devastation brought on by the devil and his demons. It is important that you know how the devil attacks and harasses spirit, which has been sealed, like I said yesterday. But your soul is vulnerable and your human body is vulnerable. To what, Erica? Regression, repression, suppression, depression, oppression, obsession, and possession. But the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning and to tell you that through your own exponential knowledge of deliverance, of salvation, of exorcism, and healing, that you have been brought into newly found authority gained by your power of God raising up in you, gained by you having a will to set your will in line with the will of God on earth, with the truth that you are more than a match for the devil, with the truth that you have the power to overthrow, you have the power to overcome, and you already have the power to destroy the works of the devil and his demons. And with what you've got right now, and with what you're getting, hallelujah, the Lord wants me to tell you this morning, it's time for you to go forth. You already got what you need to win. It's time for you to lay down all that defeatism. It's time for you to go forth in authority, in power, in victory, It is time for you to go forth and set the captives free. But you gotta go forth. In the name of Jesus. You gotta go forth. In the power of God's own Holy Spirit. The Lord wanted me to tell you this morning, you cannot lose, because you got already the real thing.
Back, 'cause his wings war.
Remember what Minister Hill said this morning? The only thing that is required is a little bit of faith.